The tech oligarchs are at it again. Determined to control every narrative presented to the American people, the tech tyrants at YouTube recently suspended the conservative news outlet Real America's Voice. Their crime? They interviewed President Trump about his doubts about the 2020 presidential election was not conducted entirely by the book. And who can blame them? After Time magazine bragged of a shadow campaign conducted by an alliance of tech oligarchs, big business CEOs, and left-wing activists to get swing states to change voting systems and laws, all without input from the voters. It seems reasonable to suggest that perhaps the 2020 election was not the fairest in American history. Of course, the tech oligarchs can't allow Americans to hear that. They publicly brag about swaying the election against President Trump and the will of more than 70 million patriotic Americans. But if one of those patriots even so much as expresses doubt that changing voting systems and laws in the middle of a presidential campaign seems unfair, they are expelled entirely from the internet. Well, the tech oligarchs can try and ban me all they want. But here on Rumble, we can deliver news to the American people without fear of being silenced. In that vein, here is Real America Voice's now banned interview with President Trump. Enjoy.
And welcome to the water cooler, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Hope you had a great weekend. Glad to be back in the anchor chair after some time off in Florida. It's Monday, June 21st, 2021. We begin with the newsmaker of newsmakers, President Donald J. Trump. The 45th president of the United States is with us on the water cooler today. He may not be sitting in the Oval Office, but you can easily make the argument that he's just as influential today. Here's our interview with the president. Mr. President, we've known each other over a decade. We've interviewed countless times. It really is an honor to have you on the water cooler today. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, David. Thank you.
I want to start with something you told Sean Hannity last week. The headlines were about how you admitted defeat in the 2020 election when you said we didn't win. Is that an accurate headline? Did you admit defeat? I just want to understand that.
No, I never admitted defeat. We have a lot of things happening right now. I think that that was an election that was, I don't think, all you have to do is read the newspapers and see what's coming out now. No, I never, the word is concede. I have not conceded.
Right. So I want to ask you about Georgia and Arizona, the audit going out there. What should happen in your mind if Arizona and Georgia come back with fully verified evidence of voter fraud? What do you think should happen?
Well, I think they will come back with that. And I think other states are also going to come back with that. And it's going to be determined what's going to happen. That's not up to me. That's up to the public. That's up to a lot of people, I guess. But if the election was determined to be a fraud, and it's looking more and more like that is the case, I mean, people are going to have to make a determination as to what's going to happen.
Right. So I want to clarify something, because I have to tell you, and I the last time I checked, I don't want to listen to the mainstream media. Their headlines are ridiculous. There is talk out there by a certain segment of the MAGA faithful. They truly believe you're going to be somehow reinstated in August. There's actually a poll out, a morning consult poll, that says 30% of American, or excuse me, 30% of Republicans actually think that as well. So can you set the record straight? Do you believe you could be potentially reinstated at that point? What's your view?
Well, just so you understand, there is a large, I've been seeing those same polls. They're not my polls. They're polls taken by, I guess, media and others. And there is a tremendous percentage, much higher than that, that think the election was rigged and stolen. And I don't speak for other people. I can only tell you what I say. And, you know, frankly, this isn't unique, because Hillary Clinton went around saying it. And Stacey Abrams is still saying about her race in Georgia. So this is nothing that's totally unique. But I will say that in this case, they had no evidence. In this case, there's massive evidence. It's coming out of Georgia. It's coming out. I mean, just take a look at what's happening. Read the papers. Now, a lot of the mainstream media, in fact, almost all of it, refuses to cover it. And why, I don't know. It's all Pulitzer Prize material, but they refuse to cover it. But you take a look at the numbers coming out of Arizona. Now, they're doing an audit right now. I have nothing to do with the audit. The audit is taking place. It's the state Senate. And I think they're great patriots, frankly, if you want to know the truth. But the state Senate of Arizona, they're doing an audit. I don't know when it's going to be released, the numbers. But I would imagine they'd be very revealing, and Georgia likewise, and Pennsylvania is, from what I heard, starting an audit because they've found things that they are not happy with. No, these numbers, I think, are going to prove to be massive.
Yeah, but what about the reinstatement part? Is that bogus?
I'm not going to comment on that. I'm going to just see what happens. If the election was fraudulent, people are going to have to make up their own minds. It's not going to be up to me. It's going to be up to the public. It's going to be up to perhaps politicians. I don't think there's ever been a case like this where hundreds of thousands of votes will be found. So we'll have to see what happens.
Okay, fair enough. On 2024, you've always been asked these 2024 questions. I know you're getting tired of it. So there's been talk now about you becoming Speaker of the House in 2022. Is that something that you would seriously even consider? Or can you say right here, right now, that you don't have any interest in that?
Well, I've heard the talk, and it's getting more and more. But it's not something that I would have considered. But it is certainly, there's a lot of talk about it. I have a good relationship with Kevin, and hopefully we will do everything traditionally. But the election was a horrible thing for our country. The whole world is watching, and it's been a horrible. You know, we were always known for free and fair elections. Well, it turns out they weren't free and they weren't fair, and the world is watching. So I have seen talk about that, but it's nothing that I've ever considered.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. On 2024, by the way, here's my take, and I'm curious to get your take. Would it be accurate to say that if a supermajority of the candidates that you're supporting right now, if they win in the midterms and Republicans take back the House and the Senate, that would make it more likely that you would run at that point? Is that true? What do you think?
No, I don't think so, but I think that's what is going to happen. My endorsements have meant a lot. We're almost undefeated, very close to undefeated, and hundreds of endorsements. People win. We just had the Republican Party chair in North Carolina and in Georgia and other places. We just had congressional candidates. But, I mean, hundreds of endorsements. And our record is, I think, unmatched anywhere at any time. So I'm working to gain the majority first, and I think it would be, I think it's very important that we do that. I don't know that would have any impact on my decision, however.
What would have that impact on your decision? What's going through your mind on that? A lot of people want to know.
Well, I think I'm just looking at what's going on. I'm very unhappy with what's going on. I look at the border where people are coming in by the millions. It's going to be by the millions very soon. Mm-hmm. It already is. And I look at other things, how our country is really, it's America last. I was America first. I look at it, and I see what's happening, and I'm not happy about it. So we'll make that decision, and I think people will be very happy with the decision I make.
I know there's a lot of people that have been talking about you running in 2024. And you know the deal. There's a lot of people talking about Ron DeSantis and the job he's doing in Florida. What are your thoughts about DeSantis running in 2024? What do you think of that?
I think Ron's very good. I endorsed him, and when I endorsed him, he went up like a rocket ship. He understands that, and he's doing a good job. We have a number of people that are doing a very good job. Ron's a friend of mine. He's been great, and we have I just endorsed, as you know, the governor of Texas for that race, and we have a lot of other endorsements out there. We have some great people in the Republican Party.
You know, I don't want to listen to the New York Times. They always like to write about the relationship between you and Mike Pence. Can you explain that to us right now? There's a portion of the MAGA crowd. You know the deal. They're never going to forgive the vice president for not kicking those certain disputed election results back to state legislatures. What's your take on Mike Pence and how what's the relationship like?
Well, I've always liked Mike, and I'm very disappointed that he didn't send it back to the legislatures. When you have more votes than you have voters in some cases, and when you have the kind of things that are that were known in many cases, they were known then, but they're certainly getting better and better known now. I was disappointed that he didn't send it back. I felt he had the right to send it back, and he should have sent it back. That's my opinion. And I think if he did, I think those look at Pennsylvania now, look at Georgia, look at Arizona, and look at others. They're all now looking at what happened during that election, I think you would have found that you might very well have a different president right now had he sent him back.
Interesting. Listen, you're going to hold a rally in the Cleveland area this coming weekend. You're going to support a candidate who is taking on someone, that Congressman Anthony Gonzalez, who voted to impeach you. Is this like a revenge tour across the country for you? How do you see it?
No, I just don't think Gonzalez is good. I don't think he represents the people. I think he's not somebody that thinks the way I do and others do. And frankly, I think that the young man running against him, Max Miller, is excellent. I worked with him for a long time at the White House. He comes from the area. He was brought up in the area. He loves Ohio. He loves that particular spot, and he is going to do well. I mean, he's been doing very well, I can tell you that. No, I'm not a fan of Gonzalez.
Let me ask you about, you know, the evangelicals. They support you so much across this country. What's your message to them right now? They see a culture slipping away to wokeness, this critical race theory, transgender terminology. Now it's like birthing people. What in the world? So what is it going to take to wake up the church here in America, Mr. President?
Well, the evangelicals have been better even now after the election because they see what's happening. They're being affronted on every single thing that they stand for and represent. When Biden went in, he didn't say all of the things that were happening. You look at religion, generally speaking, what's going on now with this administration, this was not what was discussed during debates and during anything else. I mean, nobody ever thought this was possible, not only on religion, on the border, on Second Amendment, on everything else you can think of, but including God and including life and including many other topics. Nobody ever thought this is a Bernie Sanders times 10. Nobody ever thought what's happening to our country could be happening to our country. And the evangelicals and Christians generally, you take a look at what's happening, Christians generally are feeling that way, and they're feeling that way very strongly. Much more so now, because now they're actually seeing things happen. And, you know, I have a Supreme Court that gave a very good ruling the other day, as you know, but having to do with Christianity and having to do with religion. I mean, it was a great ruling. But, you know, I was fortunate we got 3 Supreme Court justices approved, almost 300 federal judges. And, you know, we've done a job. But nobody thought what was happening now could be happening. Nobody thought it was possible.
Yeah, I want to get to that Supreme Court, one of the Supreme Court decisions, in just a moment. On Biden, I remember, look, you were right during the campaign. I remember during the campaign, you said Joe Biden was against God. And now we have the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. They're looking at denying him as a Catholic communion, even Pelosi. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, it's pretty unusual. It's, you know, I'm not going to argue with them. It's pretty unusual, his stance on everything. They would have been a lot better off had I won this election, that I can tell you, because very few, if anybody, has ever done what I've done in terms of the subject that you're talking about and the subject that you represent so well.
Yeah. Mr. Trump, let me ask you a little bit about those Supreme Court picks, Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh. They ruled with the liberals just recently in favor of saving Obamacare. What did you think of that, about what they did?
Disappointed, and that's the way it goes. Very disappointed. I fought very hard for them, but I was very disappointed with a number of their rulings.
Yeah. Does it make you second guess some of those picks, or time will tell?
No, second guessing does no good. But I was disappointed with a number of rulings that they made.
For sure. By the way, later this month, you're going to be going down to the border in Texas with Governor Greg Abbott. If you had a few minutes to speak with Kamala Harris about the immigration situation, what would you tell her? Because after all, Joe Biden put her in charge of the crisis. By the way, they don't even call it a crisis.
I'd say go back to what we were doing. It worked. Not so easy to get back there, however. I had to go through court cases, litigation. We had to win a lot. And stay in Mexico was a very big deal. And we got that, and we got all the other things, and now it's all been blown up. And you have millions of people coming into our country, just in case you're not aware of it, millions of people. And many of those people come out of prisons. They allow them to come out of prisons and other places. What's happening on our border is beyond a crisis. And maybe they won't call it a crisis, but it's beyond a crisis.
I've got to ask you here at the end, there's a lot of faithful, not just Trump supporters, but obviously faithful Americans who have lost hope in this country. What do you tell them? How do you have them keep the faith through these tough times?
I tell them to stay tuned.
Now, what does that mean? I have to ask you a follow-up on that, Mr. President. Stay tuned? That's all I get?
That's all you get. That's what you get. And it's we'll see what happens. Our country is in crisis. And we are what's happening with other countries. They're eating our lunch. They're destroying our country at the border and elsewhere.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Let's see what happens.
Fair enough. And in terms
Thank you, David, very much, David.
Mr. President, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care of yourself.
That
Bye.
Is Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States, hitting on a whole range of issues. And we will come back and discuss that with Nan Hayworth and Eric Greitens and a whole lot more on the water cooler when we come back.